Blog Talk Radio.
Amen. Hallelujah. To God be all the glory. This is the day that the Lord has made. We are rejoicing and glad in it. We give God praise for you tonight. As we are here on our Word Wednesday, we thank God. The last Word Wednesday of this month of January. Hallelujah. It's coming to an end on Friday this month, but it's been an amazing month. We fasted, we prayed, and I believe by faith that through our fasting and prayer, like in the book of Joel, the Bible says God will restore all the years. Hallelujah. All the years that the enemy think he has stolen, all the things that he think he has taken away from us, God will restore. So we thank God as we fasted and prayed. Expect God to do the supernatural in your life. Pray and watch God move in miraculous ways. Let us pray as we begin to get into the lesson tonight. Father, we thank you and we give you praise. There's none like you. And with you being on our side, who can be against us? So we thank you for your presence on this line tonight. We thank you for the Holy Spirit, the greater one on the inside of each and every one of us who are Christians, who are called by your name, that nothing or no one in this world can defeat us. So we decree and declare that we are already winners because your word said we're more than conquerors through Christ who gives us strength. Now, God, as we educate and edify our minds and our hearts and our spirits tonight, may you bless this time together in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Tonight, I want to continue what my wife started on Sunday. Just some thoughts I have. She brought out so many great points on Sunday, reminding us that God is a promise keeper. And I want to continue with that theme, continue with that topic tonight. And we're going to go to some different directions. But I actually want to start in the book that she began with on Sunday, the book of Hebrews. But I want to look at the latter part of that text that she preached from on our Friends and Family Day. Hallelujah. She talked on so many powerful points. Draw near to God. God will draw near to you. She talked about our profession, what we say out of our mouths. It does matter. Hallelujah. And so many other things that she brought from Hebrews chapter number 10. About Christ being the mediator, Christ being the ultimate sacrifice who died for us. No longer do we have to bring animals into the sanctuary because he was the perfect sacrifice. Hallelujah. That's what the book of Hebrews 10 is all about, Christ being sufficient. Amen. And we want to continue to look at that chapter, but in your private meditation, read the entire chapter number 10 in Hebrews, and it will really give you a sound insight of just what Christ dying for us, really the magnitude of what he did to reconcile us back to God the Father is just amazing. But I want to look, I believe my wife ended, but I'm going to pick it up at verse number 25, and we're going to jump to the bottom of chapter number 10. Again, we're talking tonight about God as a promise keeper because in the world in which we're living, I don't know about you, but before Christ, I was let down by so many people. Growing up in a single-parent home, dad wasn't there, and broken promises from people that they probably did mean well, but some people did not come through or did not follow through on what they promised me. And maybe you can identify with that because so many people are skeptical in our day. There's skepticism. There's people who don't believe. Sometimes God will come through for them. But we're going to see tonight that God is a promise keeper. The Bible says he is faithful to those who are faithful to him. And I believe that God is going to do everything he promised you he would do in and through your life before you meet Jesus. So let's look at Hebrews 10, verse number 25, because God wants to get our faith up, not our faith in people, but our faith in him. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, verse 25, Hebrews 10, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remain no more sacrifice for sin. Now jump all the way down to verse number 35. Go down to verse number 35. We're in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. There's that word. We're talking about God is a promise keeper. And the Hebrew writer is reminding us that God will keep his promise. For yet a little while, and he shall come. He will come, and he will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not like them that draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Hallelujah. First of all, he says, cast not away your confidence, not your confidence in yourself, nor your confidence in people, but don't cast away your confidence in God. That's why I said, you know, just a few moments ago, sometimes when we have been lied to, or we've been misled, we have been betrayed, we have been used and sometimes abused, sometimes our guard goes up, and it goes up big time. Even our guard, we guard ourselves toward God because of, you know, people, what they have put in that ear gate, what other people have said about our God, or about their experience with God. You know, why did God let this happen? Or why did God allow that? And we blame God for the wrong things. Listen, God's character is good. Everything in him is good. There is no evil in him. So he's not capable of doing anything wrong to us, because God's character is good. That's why we say, what? God is good all the time. Come on. And all the time, God is good. The Bible says every good and perfect gift comes from above. And when we know somebody's character, it's easier to commit. Character attracts commitment. Oh my God, I'm going to say that one more time. Character attracts commitment. Because when you can trust somebody, you don't mind committing to that person. This is why I got married, because I knew I could trust my wife, and she knew she could trust me. So, you know, when you go into that threshold of marriage, you have already crossed over and said, I trust this person. I believe in this individual. And that's what God is saying to us. Yes, we make mistakes. Yes, we are flawed. But ultimately, the trust that we need to have in Almighty God, that he would keep his promises to us, that's what the writer is saying. Don't give away your confidence in God. And he goes on to say, once you do that, you need to develop this thing called patience. Hallelujah. Because seed time and harvest, I might talk a little bit about that on Sunday. Seed time and harvest. The pastor talked about the process in the meantime and in between time. When you put a seed in the ground, it takes time for that seed to grow. It's watered. It needs sunshine. It needs the dirt. It needs the soil. It needs a lot of things to happen for that seed to grow. And that takes time. So it is with the process that God gives you and I. The promises of God are yes and amen. He already determined the end at the beginning. And what, oh, glory be to God. What God has said to you, he's going to fulfill it. So the writer says to us in Hebrews, and we're going to go to Revelation in a minute, but the Bible says in Hebrews, he says, we need this thing called patience. I never forget the earlier years in my marriage. We had some rough years, some rough patches early on, but now we've been married for over 23 years, and we've been together for 25. And it's just a blessing. I tell my wife, I'm a happy husband. Glory to God. I'm a happy husband. I don't know where that phrase came from. But I don't just say that because people are married. Sometimes people are enduring. But God wants you to be happily married. Come on, somebody. He wants you to be happily married, not just to endure. And the writer is saying, when you have this thing called patience, the ability to wait, now you can say, as I wait on the will of God, when he manifests this thing and make it a reality, make it come into fruition in my life, I'm going to be of good courage and wait on the Lord. And when you wait on God, I talked about it last time I taught, waiting on God doesn't mean that we're idle, doesn't mean that we're not doing nothing, doesn't mean that we're just waiting, looking at the clock, but we are still remaining busy. Then he goes on to say, the just shall live by faith. This is a lifestyle for us. You know, for the first 30 years of my life, I was not a Christian. And now that I have something to compare it with, I really think the life for the Christian who the just shall live by faith, he's talking about you and I who are believers, it probably is a horrible existence for people who live without hope, people who live without expectation of change, people who live in a hopeless situation thinking it's just Murphy's Law, what will be will be. No, we have the authority and we have been given the ability to alter. Glory be to God. Come on, somebody. To alter certain circumstances. We don't just accept what the enemy throws at us, what the devil's trying to do to us. Because the Bible clearly states he is an enemy of the children of God. I'm not going to get into it, but in Revelation, with a great war in heaven, the Bible says the enemy and a third of his angels was cast out of heaven, and he came down into the earth realm, and he says, woe unto the inhabitants of the earth. The enemy has came to make war with the children of God. So when we are going through, when we are fighting this spiritual battle, it's already been prophesied, it's already been written that life is not going to be easy, but we got the victory. Amen. We got the victory. So yes, the enemy's busy. Yes, we fight not against flesh and blood. Spiritual warfare is real, but I'm here to announce to you, you already have the victory. And I'm so glad we're going to look at, I'm looking at Hebrews even as I'm speaking, and we're going to look at that very quickly before we go over to Revelation. But he says, don't go back, don't draw back. He's referring to Judas. Remember, Judas betrayed Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. He said, the only one that drew back is the one of perdition, the one that went to Hades, the one that went to hell, the one that betrayed the Messiah. It was already predicted this would happen. So nothing got past Christ. Nothing fooled Christ. Judas was a disciple, but it says right here, except the one lost to perdition, meaning God knew, Jesus knew, the Holy Spirit knew Judas would turn on Jesus. And he says, don't be like that. Don't go back to mess. Don't go back to nonsense. Don't go back to the things that brought you pain and suffering. Don't go back to the things that kept you in bondage and kept you a failure. Don't go back to the things, hallelujah, that made you accept mediocrity. But God says, move forward by faith. Amen, somebody. And since we're here, we might as well look at the next chapter, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. And he goes on to explain what faith is. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen, which were not made of the things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained the witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gift, and by it, he being dead, yet speaketh. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before he was translated, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Come on. But without faith, verse 6, it is impossible to please him. For he that come to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. My God, my God, my God, you called in tonight that's diligently seeking God. You called in a prayer last night that's diligently seeking God. You came out to Friends and Family Day. You didn't miss church a Sunday of this new year. You're seeking God. You're believing God. You're coming on the Sabbath. You're reading his word. You're praying. You're trying to be a nicer person. You're trying to stop cursing. You're trying to stop sinning. You are diligently seeking God. Come on, somebody. To God be the glory. And now with that, that's why you can't let the devil get into your head. He says your effort is going to bring Your effort is going to bring reward into your life. Your try is going to bring treasure into your life. Come on. Your work is going to bring wealth into your life. In the name of Jesus. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And the fact that you still believe for better, the fact that you still want more out of life, the fact that you know God is not done with you yet, the fact that you know it can get better and it can get much better, that's you having faith in God, not your own ability, but I'm praying to God that can change my circumstances. I'm going to God that can make my life better. I'm calling upon my God to do what I cannot do. Amen. To God be the glory. And he says, you and I have the same authority. You and I have been given the same ability. That's why I love Pastor Prophet Jamal. He says, walk in your authority. Glory be to God. I love it. When he says it, it stirs up something in my soul. Glory be to God. Because he means that thing. Amen. And I think that's one of his mandates in the earth realm. Tell my people to walk in their authority. Glory to God. And I just love him. He speaks that word with such passion and fire, and he stirs me up every time I hear him say that or say it to somebody else, because we do have that authority. He says, what we bind will be bound. What we loose will be loose. That word bind simply means you have control. Simply means you authorize. Amen. And he says, let me make that first point before we get over into Revelation. They say the stuff that we see, this is how God created the world. In the beginning, the Bible says, Genesis 1:1, the earth was void. And the Spirit of the Lord hovered upon the face of the earth, the face of the waters of the earth. And it said, God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God began to speak, and creation began to unfold. And God created all this in 6 days, and on the seventh day, he rested from all of his work. But in the beginning, the earth was void. It was empty. It was dark. And that's what he's talking about here. God spoke and things came into existence. Oh, my God, my God. Somebody said, Pastor Anthony, you talking to me. You talking to me. Because when we speak, that's why the Bible says, speak those things that be not as though they are. When you speak, things have the potential and the possibility to come into existence. Our words have authority. Our words have power. Our words have supernatural ability. So it doesn't matter what you see that child doing. Speak life into that child. It doesn't matter what your marriage is going through. Speak life into that marriage. It doesn't matter the sickness or the degree of pain in your body. Speak to your body and speak healing over your life. Because God will honor his word. I'm talking tonight about he's a promise keeper. Amen. It says that Abel gave God a more excellent sacrifice than his brother Cain. And even though Abel died, his blood now still speaks to us. It says Enoch walked by faith and pleased God so much that God just took him home and he did not see death. Amen. Glory to God. Go to the book of Revelation, the 3rd chapter. When I saw this, I don't know why God led me to Revelation. I went here to look for something else, But as I kept reading, I was like, my God, I normally just stop at verse number 8 because it always ministers to me. But something told me to keep reading because he wanted me to share this thought and this revelation with you tonight. Because I love this text as he writes to the seven churches. This church at Philadelphia, he was very pleased with them. And he's about to bless them, the church of Philadelphia. You know, they're one of the seven churches that did not get rebuked by God. So we're going to look at what he wrote. And it's a beautiful thing. But he showed me something else in these few verses that I'm about to read to you. Because tonight we need to get into our spirit and get into our mind and get into our heart that God will keep his word to us. The Bible says God is not a man that he should lie, nor is he the son of man that he should repent. Has God said it, and shall he not do it and perform it? The Bible says in Isaiah 55, as the rain and the snow comes down to the earth and give bread to the eater and seed to the sower, so is my word that go out of my mouth. It will not come back to me void, but it will accomplish what I sent it to do. Amen. So the God word is not going to come back empty. It's not going to come back void. It already came down to heaven into your life, and it's not going to go back to him empty. He's going to fulfill his word over your life. Revelation 3, look at verse number 8. Again, he's talking to the church of Philadelphia. I'm not going to read verse 7, but that's where I normally start. In verse number 8, I know thy works. Behold, I set before you an open door, and no man can shut it. For you have little strength. Hear God. He said, for you have little strength and has still kept my word and has not denied my name. That's why I said I normally just stop at verse number 8 because it ministers to me every time I read it. But let's keep reading. Verse 9, behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before your feet and to know that I have loved you because you have kept my word of my patience. I also, listen to these promises, I also will keep you from the hour of temptation. I pray you hearing God tonight, which shall come upon all the earth, all the world, to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take your crown. My God, my God, my God. He said, don't let nobody take your crown. You're royal. You're a king. You're a queen. You are a prince, and you are a princess, and you are royalty. We are a royal priesthood. He said, don't let nothing in this world take your crown. But before that, he said, with the temptation, remember Paul wrote to the church, there is no temptation such as is common to man. In other words, the devil can't even tempt us outside of God's limitation. So what we go through, that's why there's nothing new under the sun. The devil come up with the same old nonsense. Are you hearing God? He come up with the same old mess because he know we're weak in the flesh sometimes. He know how sometimes we want to prove to people and show people that we are better than or better off than or more important than. He knows sometimes we have this thing called ego and pride. You know, the devil come with the same stuff, and sometimes it's effective and it works. But he says, in the day of temptation, most of the world are going to fail at this because they don't have no power against it. But I'm going to, in the hour of your temptation, I'm going to keep you. My God, my God. See, when we talked about resist the devil and he will flee from you, draw near to God, God will draw near to you. I read that, I think, yesterday. Yeah, I read that during the prayer. That was the scripture I read yesterday coming from Peter, coming from James. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Oh, glory be to God. He said in the day of temptation, God is going to do this. He's going to give you the ability to say no. He's going to give you the ability to walk away and move away. He's going to give you the ability to not let sin rule you any longer. And then he goes on to say, the people that are lying to you, they're going to see you blessed. They're going to see me loving you, and they're going to envy you. They're going to be jealous of you because God's going to show you favor. Glory be to God. And then finally, like I said, I always stop at verse number 8. I know yet last year, the year before last, the theme was opportunity, open doors, and overflow. Glory be to God. And I had got that from right here, Revelation 3. And I'm going to say that to you right now. This year, you're going to have opportunity. This year, you're going to have open doors. And this year, you're going to have overflow. Oh, man, somebody say, I believe, I receive, Pastor. I believe it and I receive it. God is going to give me opportunity. God's going to open doors that no man can shut. And God is going to bless me with overflow. I'm going to have enough to bless somebody else. I'm going to have enough for our children's children. I'm going to have enough to share and to bring other people joy and blessing. I'm going to have enough to do the desires of my heart, clothe the naked, feed the hungry, help the youth. Come on, somebody. In the name of Jesus, I'm going to have more than enough to be a blessing to somebody else. That's overflow. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. God is a promise keeper. He says, I'm going to do this because you've had little strength, but you still kept my word. Have you ever been low on strength and low on faith? Have you ever just been like, I don't want to read the word. I don't want to go to church. I don't want to pray. I don't even want to go on. I want to just give up. I just want to quit. This is real. This is a reality for some people. Maybe you're there right now. Maybe I'm speaking to you. And he says right here, when you have little strength and still have an ounce of keeping my word, I'm going to do these things for you because you have not denied my name. You didn't blame God because you had little strength. You didn't blame God because things wasn't going your way. You did not blame God because it looked like things were falling apart. And he says right here in the text, because you have not denied my name, because you still believe my word, I'm going to do something powerful for you. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. You know, let's look at Gideon, because that little strength is going to take me right here. I want to go to this a little later. But Gideon had a mindset that he was little, he was least. And as I read, you're going to see Gideon's mindset. Some people had low self-esteem and have low self-esteem, like those grasshopper mindsets in Numbers chapter 14, when God told them to go into the promised land. And they said the Jebusites and the Hittites and the Amorites, all these ites are in the land, along with the giants. God, I know you gave us the land of promise, the land of Canaan. It's flowing with milk and honey. These are the grapes from the land. But we were like grasshoppers in their sight, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight. Guess what? They saw themselves as small. Instead of seeing a big God, come on, somebody. Instead of seeing a big old God, that's why God wants us to take the focus off of ourselves. Yes, we're inadequate sometimes. Yes, we're not qualified and don't have the ability. But with Christ, we can do all things. It's not about us. It's all about God. And they said to themselves, we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and we're not. This is why they called it an evil report. This is why they brought up an evil report. This is why the King James language used that word evil report. Because listen to what they said. We're not able. That's why God called it an evil report. But Caleb and Joshua, come on, glory be to God. Caleb and Joshua, the Bible said, had another spirit. And because they had another spirit, listen, the majority may not get in. But will you get in is the question. The majority may not accept or receive what God has for them. But God is saying to you and I, do you want it bad enough to not be popular or to not try to fit in with those who are saying, you know, yeah, y'all faith people, y'all Jesus freaks, y'all church folks. What can you handle the temptations? Can you handle the bickering? Can you handle the naysayers and the mocking? It comes with the territory. When you walk by faith, yes, you're going to be peculiar. Yes, people are going to talk about you behind your back. Yes, people are going to look at you sometimes like you're foolish, but it comes with the territory. Tell them to keep watching because God's going to bless you. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Caleb and Joshua got in. And unfortunately, for 40 years, all the naysayers, all the doubters, all the unbelievers died in the wilderness. Pastor Rebecca wrote a book, Don't Die in the Wilderness. And she took that from that incident with the children of Israel who were supposed to go into the promised land. And she wrote a book, Don't Die in the Wilderness. And the book blesses me every time I read it. Because you know, sometimes you're like, Pastor, I'm in a storm. Pastor, I'm in the wilderness. There's no water. There's no food. I'm in a drought. There's no resources. Don't die there. Glory be to God. Don't give up there. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And we're going to look at Gideon. Let's look at Gideon. Because he's another one that received the promise of God. And it wasn't his mindset that got it, because sometimes we think we got to have a great faith or big faith or unmovable, unshakable faith. No, it's all God, people. Yes, we walk by faith and not by sight. Yes, God will honor our faith, like the woman who touched the hem of his garment. She said, if I can just touch his hem, I know I'll be made whole. Yes, God wants to honor our faith. They brought the paralyzed man in on a mat, and they carried him. He was paralyzed. They could not get into the house, and they went up to the roof. Glory be to my name. Oh, glory. They went up to the roof, and they tore the roof off. They tore the roof off. Glory be to God. And they let the man down on a mat. And the Bible says, watch the language. When Jesus saw their faith, and as you came to this Word Wednesday, he's seeing your faith. He's seeing you dial the phone. He's seeing you get this word in your ear gate. He's seeing you hear scripture and hearing revelation and hearing the word of God in your ear gate. Because faith come by hearing and hearing through the word of God. So if we had low self-esteem, if we have fear and doubt and unbelief in our lives, if we don't think we match up or qualify or we're not adequate, and we don't think we have the right credentials, none of that matters to God. It may matter to people. It may matter to the world. It may matter to the systems of this world, but it does not matter to God. That's why he says you had little strength over in Revelation, but I'm going to do something with that. Let's look at Judges chapter number 6. Judges chapter number 6, verse number 11, Gideon. And as we get down to the latter part of the scripture, you're going to see his mindset, why he thought, you know, he just didn't measure up for what God had for him. But we're going to see the end of the story. Judges chapter 6, verse number 11. And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under the oak, which was in Ophrah, that pertained Joash, the Abrazite. And his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. If you read the first 10 chapters, God handed them over to the Midianites. They were in bondage again because they disobeyed God. Now the Midianites were like, they were like just thousands and thousands of them. And every time the people of God, the Israelites grew crops, grew vegetables. Every time they grew wheat, the Midianites would come in, take all of their food, take all of their possessions, take everything they grew, all of their crops, and would raid the land, and they would take every single thing they grew. Now, Gideon is hiding in a cave, threshing the wheat, trying to hide what little he had from the Midianites that came and took everything. But God is about to show up. And the angel of the Lord, verse 12, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with you, mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all the miracles which our fathers told us about, saying, did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us over into the hands of the Midianites. And the Lord looked upon him and said, go, come on. Glory be to God. He just tried to tell God, why has all this come on us? Why? You know, what happened to our fathers telling us about this great God that was for them, brought them out of Pharaoh's bondage, brought them out of slavery? Where is that God who handed us over to the Midianites? After giving God all of that complaining, God said, go in your own might. Some translation says, go in your own strength, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent you? This is the mindset right here that I would say. God sent him. That means God qualified him. Oh, my God, my God, my God. Woo! I could stay there the rest of the night. Many are called, few are chosen. If God sent you, God qualified you. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Let's look at his mindset in verse number 15. This is the mindset. God sent him. God qualified him. Remember Moses said, I cannot speak. I stutter. And we see the end of that story. Moses did great exploits. Because sometimes in our human nature, we don't feel adequate to do what God is calling us to do. You know, some people say, if your dream is too small, it's not from God. And sometimes we got to understand when God calls us to do something, we need God to pull it off. Verse 15, and he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? He said, how am I going to do this? Watch this. Behold, now he's about to give God the fact. My family is poor in Manasseh. And I am the least in my father's house. He says, my family, out of all the tribes, is the poorest in Manasseh. And out of the tribes in Manasseh, my family, household, and I, we're at the bottom of the barrel. We're the poorest. Glory be to God. He was simply saying, Can you get the more qualified person to do it? Can you get somebody who's more prominent, somebody who's more known, somebody who's more famous? Now watch what God says in verse number 16. And the Lord said unto him, surely I will be with thee, and you shall smite the Midianites as one man. First he said, go in your own strength. Then he said, I'm sending you. Then he tried to say, I'm not qualified. Now he said, as one man, you're going to beat him. Now watch what Gideon come back and say. And he said unto him, if now I have found grace in your sight, then show me a sign that you talk with me. You know, I tell my wife all the time, and she'll tell you it's the truth with her husband. I just need to see a sign. God don't have to, you know, if I find a dollar on the ground and he promised me $1 million, to me, that's going to keep me going in the right direction. My God, my God, my God, did you hear the Lord? Every raise I get at work, every bonus I get at work, every time somebody tip me or honor me, every time somebody give me a gift, every time increase come into my life, he already showed me wealth. And that's a sign. Who is God talking to? Glory be to God. You see signs of your child changing. You see signs of you changing in God. You see little signs that God is doing something mighty in your life. You see a sign over here and there that people are changing towards you. And sometimes that's God. Guys, that's God. Gideon said, listen, God, I don't want to be tripping. So show me that it's you talking to me. I don't want this to be in my head. I need a sign that you're talking to me. Amen, somebody. And I'm not going to read it because you're going to look at chapter 7 real quick. But he tells God, I'm going to put out a fleece, a mat, a cloth, and I'm going to lay this fleece out. This is the sign that Gideon wants. Now what? This is how cool our God is. You know, God would let us bargain with him. I love God. I love the Lord. I think God look at us as people sometimes and laugh. Listen to Gideon's bargaining with God. Listen to Gideon. He says, the sign that I know is you sending me, I'm going to lay out a fleece. I'm going to lay out a mat of cloth. And the next day when I come, if the mat is dry and everything around the mat is wet with dew, then I know you're talking to me. So the next day he comes and what happens? The whole floor is wet. There's nothing but dew around the mat. And the mat itself is dirt dry. Isn't our God bad? He's a bad dude. And then Gideon, that wasn't good enough. That wasn't good enough. He comes back to God and say, okay, please give me one more sign. Be patient with me, your son. He says, now I'm going to lay out another fleece. And now I want the fleece to be wet and the floor around the fleece to be totally dry. He comes out the next day and bam, the fleece is wet, the floor is dry. Now Gideon's like, it's on. Glory be to God. See, God will show you that he's with you. That's why he gave you that job. That's why he gave you that apartment. That's why he gave you somebody that understands you. That's why he put you into a good church. That's why he put people around you that love you. That's why God gave you certain opportunities, because he's showing you that he's for you. Amen. To God be the glory. Look at, you know, when God calls us to do something, and we're talking tonight about he's a promise keeper. Sometimes in our world, you know, we have mega churches, we have people with millions and a lot of degrees, a lot of education, a lot of power, a lot of influence, a lot of money, a lot of popularity. And this thing, sometimes it's social media with likes. You know, we're saying this one got such and such amount of followers. This one received such and such likes. And sometimes if you get 2 likes and this person over here got 2,000 likes, you're thinking they big and bad and they something. If that person got 5,000 followers and you only got 50, you're thinking they all that. And none of that stuff matters to God. It matters to the world. The world going to say you're not popular. The world going to say you're insignificant. The world going to say bigger is better, more is better. You know, those who are wealthy should be respected more than those who are poor. That's the mindset of the world. But watch what we learn in Judges chapter number 7. God takes the small things because he knows that man would take his own glory. Man wants to be God. And God says, no, nobody's going to take my glory. Amen. Nobody's going to take my glory. Judges chapter number 7. Watch what he tells. Now, he already told Gideon, okay, I'm sending you. Now he's saying to Gideon, let's just read it. Glory be to God. I pray this is blessing you, it's blessing me. Judges chapter number 7, verse number 2. And the Lord said unto Gideon, The people that are with you are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands. Because Israel fought themselves against me, saying, my own hand has saved me. In other words, if I give them the victory with the amount of people they have, they're going to think they got this victory. Isn't that just like sometimes people? I earned this $1 million. I did this on my own. This was all my doing. And God says, I'm not going to give Midianite, I'm not going to get Israel the victory, because if I do it with this large army that y'all have, y'all going to think y'all got the victory. Look at verse number 3. Now, therefore, go and proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from the Mount Gilead. He said, go back home. If you're scared, if you're afraid, just tell the people, if they're nervous, if they're scared, if they're not ready to fight, to just go ahead back home and watch this. And their return of the people, 22,000, and there remained 10,000. 32,000 people ready to fight. And he said, if you're afraid, if you have fear, tell them to go back and don't even bother battling in this battle. And the Bible says 22,000 people went back home. My God, my God. See, sometimes you need to look in the mirror and say, you know, God, you put something in me. I don't know why. I don't know why other people quit. I don't know why other people give up. I don't know why other people, you know, the things that you've been through, the things that you endured, the things that you overcame and came through. A lesser person would have crumbled. My God. But the fact that you're still here, the fact that you still got hope, the fact that you still have faith shows you that God is with you. Look at verse number 4. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people are still too many. Bring them down into the water, and I will try them there. And it shall be, when I say unto you, this shall go with thee, the same shall go with thee, and of whomsoever I shall say unto thee, this shall not go with thee, the same shall not go. In other words, I'm going to put them through another test. And who's going to go with you, I'm going to tell you. Who's not going to go with you, I'll tell you. Verse number 5. So he brought down the people into the water. And the Lord said unto Gideon, everyone that laps the water with their tongue, as a dog laps, set him by himself. Likewise, everyone that bowed down upon the knees to drink. And the number of them that lapped like a dog, putting their hand to their mouth, there was 300 men. But all the rest of the people bowed down their faces and their knees into the water. In other words, God was saying, those who take their eyes off of the enemy, I know everybody's thirsty, but you got to be, oh, glory be to God. You got to be focused. It's not time to be naive. It's not time to be lax. It's not time to put your guard down. It's not time to be complacent. Glory be to God. It's not time to be lackadaisical. Come on, somebody. We're living in perilous days. This is why, you know, when I was in the hospital, my wife would tell you, I had a desire to go to church. Because I know the days in which we're living in. Devil's trying to destroy my family. He's trying to destroy my future. Devil want to mess up my finances. Devil came against my body. And God is saying to you today, you know, if your family's under attack, if your money is under attack, if your marriage is under attack, if your church is under attack, this is why he's saying,
Don't take your eye off the enemy.
Glory be to God. He says it's not time to take your eyes off the enemy. And all those that took the water up and cupped it in their hand and kept their, glory be to God, they kept their eyes open and they were thirsty too, but they lapped the water up from the hand to the mouth, from the hand to the mouth, from the hand to the mouth, but they kept their eyes on the enemy. Amen. And that's what God is saying to you. I need you to be alert. I need you to be on guard. I just need you to be aware of the days in which you're living. And God is saying, I'm going to do my part and keep my promise to you, but you got to do your part and guard your heart with all diligence. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not into your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him. He will direct your path. God is saying to us tonight, he will keep his promises to us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. But he wants us to be wise as serpents and sweet as doves. Amen, somebody. To God be the glory. To God be all the glory. Hallelujah. Here's another one. Glory to God. Let's look at Abraham. Let's look at Abraham. Genesis chapter 12. And we'll probably close out here tonight. Genesis chapter 12, the life of Abraham. His name was Abram. You know, Pastor Rebecca talked about process. You know, toward the end, God changed their name from Abram to Abraham, from Sarah to Sarah. And God is doing that with you and I. He's processing us. You know, sometimes God gives us a good job. He gives us a good income. He gives us a good marriage. He gives us great and good opportunities. Sometimes to test us to see what we're going to do with it. And he's giving, you know, in Genesis 22, he tests Abraham. Even after he gave him the miracle son Isaac, he tested him. And Abraham passed the test. And sometimes God is testing you and I. But again, the lesson tonight is God is a promise keeper. And he gave Abraham some promises here in Genesis chapter 12. Let's start at verse number, glory to God, let's start at verse number 1, Genesis 12:1. Now the Lord has said unto Abram, his name is Abram at this point. It's not even Abraham. See, God will meet you right where you are. Oh, my God, my God. You know, when Jesus was coming and John the Baptist said, behold, the Lamb of God which take away the sin of the world. Andrew and another disciple was there. And they began to follow Jesus. And they said, where are you abiding? Andrew had a brother named Simon. Simon is now called by Andrew because Andrew said, we have found the Messiah. Simon comes to Jesus. His name is not Peter yet, but it's Simon. As I said, God will meet you right where you are. And he says, Simon, your name will be called Peter, a rock. In other words, it was still Simon. But after everything is said and done, Peter, you're going to do great things for the kingdom. Glory be to God. See, God, oh, help me, Holy Ghost. When God calls you, he already know what he put in you before you got into this earth. And that's what God calls you based on. Not based on what others see in you or not based even on what you've accomplished. He calls you based on what he put in you. Glory be to God. You know, I always knew I was different from my friends. I always knew I was particular. You know, even whether I'm at FedEx, whether I'm here, Pastor Rebecca has it also. I just thought it was a pet peeve. I like things neat. I like things in order. I thought it was just something, just, you know, a little particular. I thought I was just particular.
But that was the apostolic on me. Glory be to God.
Having things in order. You know, sometimes you like things in order. Hallelujah. Because God says do things decently and in order. And as we obey God, as we get our lives in order, God will honor us as we continue to honor him. Genesis 12:1. Now the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of the country and from your relatives or kindred and from your father's house unto a land that I will show you. God wants to separate you from some people. Sometimes that's a hard pill to swallow. You know, my best friend, Donnell Davis, I still love him to this day. I haven't seen Donnell in years. If I see him today, we probably hug each other, fall on each other's neck, because I love him and I know he still loves me. He was my childhood friend. We would fight for each other. He gave me my first car on credit. He had two or three cars. He just gave me a car because I needed an automobile, and he said, Aunt, give me my payment. And I took advantage of our friendship. Long story short, I did not make the payment. I thought he was my friend. I took advantage of him. He just told me plainly. He said, listen, Aunt, you're my friend. You're my best friend, but I don't appreciate you taking advantage of me. And that thing cut me to the core. I was like, man, he made me feel so bad. He gave me the car on credit. And I took advantage of his friendship. And even, you know, I'm saying that to get to this point. That's how I love that brother. We went to high school together, went to elementary school together, and he was my childhood friend until I went to college. And we clubbed, we partied, we did everything together. And when I got saved, of course, I'm going to get Donnell. That's my boy. That is my boy. And I know he's going to want this God that I discovered. And I took him to a men's only service. It was hundreds and hundreds of men there. And I just knew he would be impressed. And we got outside the church, and I said, yo, man, what do you think? This was awesome, right? He said, he looked at me, not with the same excitement that I had. That's why you're like, Pastor Anthony, you do kind of go over the top with your enthusiasm by God. I've always been this way. And I came outside the church, and I looked at him. I said, yo, man, what do you think? He looked at me and he said, yo, Aunt, that might be for you, but that ain't for me. He said, yo, Aunt, that might be for you, but that ain't for me. And, you know, for some reason, I didn't pursue him. I didn't press him. I never took him back to church. I didn't try to convince him. I don't know why I gave up so easily on him. Maybe because I knew him. And I knew he wouldn't bend or break. He still wanted to party, still wanted to chase the girls, still wanted to do his thing that we did in the world. But I was beginning to head in another direction. Amen? And I said that to say, when God told Abraham, leave your kindred, leave your relatives, leave your familiarity. For me to leave Donnell and for Donnell to leave me, that was big. That was major. Again, we did everything together. So when I started going to church, and it was... You know, based on me separating from him, that was major. But I'm so glad I made that decision. I'm not going to have time to finish this, but I'm just going to keep reading. And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless them that bless you. I will curse them that curse you, and all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Now Abram obeyed God, because those were the promises in the first three verses. God already showed him, make your father many nations. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless you to be a blessing. I'm going to make your name great. And if you keep reading, God kept his promises to Abraham. So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed. We'll stop right there. God wants you to separate from some people. God wants you to obey his word. God wants to give you these promises, but sometimes we think they're not conditional. But I'm here to tell you, as a pastor and as a friend, as a man of God, some of the promises of God are conditional. You know, some people think they can just live any old way or do any old thing. But no, God wants us to do our part, and he will do his part. Amen. To God be the glory. Father, we thank you tonight, and we give your name praise. You're a good God. So, Lord, we know that you expect certain things from us, and God, help us to fulfill our part, our end of the bargain. We give your name praise for keeping your promises to us. Thank you for strengthening us. Thank you for giving us courage. Thank you, God, for showing us through revelation, even as we looked at Gideon, not thinking of himself much. As we looked in Revelation, a person had little strength. As we looked at, even in the book of Hebrews, Judas, who betrayed Christ. God, help us not to be like any of that, but give us the strength that we need. And we'll give your name praise. In Jesus' name, amen. We thank God for you. We love you. Please sow a seed into the ministry. We are doing a great work for the Lord, and we have so many ideas. We have the young people coming in. We have families coming in. We have people connecting with the ministry, the prayer line, Word Wednesday. This church is way bigger beyond Hillside, New Jersey. We thank God for every string, every branch, every, you know, auxiliary. We thank God for every part of new creation, men's ministry, women's ministry, marriage ministry, youth ministry. We thank God for all of it. Senior citizen ministry. We thank God for all of it. Hallelujah. Pastor, we got all that? Speak those things that be not. Glory be to God. Glory be to God, as though they were. And we thank God as you continue to sow seed into this work. We believe that God going to breathe on it and bless it and multiply it. Amen. The Cash App is NCCM, $NCCM Church, the word church. And we thank God for you sowing that seed into the ministry. If you're in the local area, we will be in service first Sunday in the month of February. I believe that's going to be Holy Communion. I believe that is going to be our first Holy Communion of the month of February. Amen. And Black History Month is next month. And we thank God as we see you on Sunday. It's going to be a blessing. We're going to have a good time in the Lord. 12:30, bring somebody to church with you. Amen. Friends and family day, that person you invited last Sunday, tell them, are you coming back this Sunday? And hopefully they'll come back. Amen. So we'll see you Sunday. God bless you. Love you. Good night.